We are back in the asylum, this time responding to our much-lauded favorite, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Will this be misery business as usual, or does the much-maligned production company have a diamond in the rough? Find out along with us. This is Kaiju versus History Monster Island.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your ocean diving geologist, Miles, and joining me is a wise professor ready to hug a kaiju egg, Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing this week?
Hello. I mean, I feel like we put in all of the work that we needed to do with the Mega Shark movies, the Atlantic Rims with.
Yeah, we've done some asylum watching in our time.
We still have, we're like halfway through, I feel like, the asylum.
Oh, no, but we haven't even scratched the surface. We ain't gonna watch no Avengers Grimm. We haven't seen.
Oh, well, I'm talking about the kaiju.
We haven't seen off. I know what you're talking about. I'm just saying that there is far more under the asylum oeuvre. But I would say that, like, yeah, we've certainly put in our time with what the asylum has to offer. Mm-hmm. So yes, Monster Island. Clearly, someone was at least clever enough to realize that there's a Monster Island in the Godzilla franchise and heard that there was a new Godzilla movie that was going to have a bunch of monsters. So why not? This movie has absolutely nothing to do with Godzilla King of the Monsters, and no. I think it's better off for it. This is a. I mean, it certainly is a mockbuster, but it's more of a monster mockbuster of just like timing and circumstance rather than like, oh, this is an attempt to like really make a clear parody. I think possibly because Toho is a lot more litigious than people want to deal with.
Yeah, maybe they just don't have any kind of trademark on Monster Island and someone figured that out. This movie came out the weekend that Godzilla King of the Monsters came out on the Sci-Fi channel, sci-fi, and it is of course by Asylum, the Asylum.
This is made company. For TV though, correct?
So it first debuted on TV. It did get a DVD release a few weeks, supposedly 12 days later, says Wikipedia, and was available on VOD a few months later. You know, did the display in theaters? I hope not.
you know what though? I mean, we'll see. Before we dig into this movie, Patrick, tell us what, if anything, is in the title.
Well, you already stole my thunder, Miles.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is sorry.
The title.
That was all you had.
I mean, what else is there? This is, of course, Kaijuto is the name for Monster Island in the Japanese, and it first showed up in the Godzilla series in All Monsters Attack, which I believe it was kind of like a fictional location in that movie and in the kids' kind of dreams, but became an actual location with Destroy All Monsters, maybe in like the far future. It would be an actual location in Godzilla versus Gigan. And yeah, it sets it apart a little bit from Iwi Island and some of the other fictional Pacific Islands in the Godzilla series. And the idea behind it is like there's one large island very similar to Godzilla or King Kong's Skull Island where multiple kaiju live, you know? And in, I think, Destroy All Monsters, I think it was kind of like an artificial island, but there's no. I guess we could talk about the plot now, too, Miles. There isn't really a Monster Island in this movie. There is a monster who is like an island.
Well, it kind of feels like the Monster Island was us all along kind of situation. Or
the
Monster Island is the monsters we made along the way.
the last line of the movie, which just had me guffaw, like, so loud. The professor character is like, the entire Earth is now a monster island. It's like, yeah. What does that? How does that make sense? Why is it an island?
Well, 75% of the planet is water, so
doesn't make it make sense.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, competent.
This movie is story. Shockingly competent.
It's crazy. And I have now watched this twice. I think I watched it when I previewed it to put it on our list. I was like, and I was getting through it. I was like, is there even a kaiju in this movie? Because like the cover of the film has what looks like a big old cyclops monster firing an I-beam at like multiple crazy looking kaiju. Like there's several kaiju on the cover. There is maybe two if you want to kind of push it in this film. One is like an island and just is, you know, mostly stationary a lot of the
right
film. And then I mean just like Atlantic Rim 2, the vast majority of this film the folks are running away from like pterodactyl sized baby kaiju, which is disappointing.
Well, and that's not a ton of the, I mean that's only like the last third really.
Yeah
but, I would say it is appropriately disappointing and on par with Asylum, as the monster action is pretty much a non-factor. But at the same time, it's a shockingly competent kaiju film, even though like it has all the trappings of an Asylum film. Like you start off in the exact same kind of like control room that's in every single Asylum movie. And even though this is not strictly a cockpit, they are certainly controlling a remote.
It's in a billionaire's basement.
Which yeah.
I found with
which someone. Also, they envisioned a billionaire who cared about the environment. And I'm sorry, I live in 2025 and I can't do that.
This is supposed to be like an Elon Musk like character, but it is funny.
One who has like a conscience and integrity.
Yeah. He's like a really moral one. It's like, oh boy, you guys missed the mark on that one. You know,
he got his $1 billion from the lottery is what happened.
2019 seems like a long time ago. But yeah, no, he's doing undersea mining. And of course, as soon as they send like a robotic drone down there, it's destroyed by some undersea monster, which eventually awakens and is a kind of like a Starro like starfish. It's a massive five arms.
Volcanic.
Yeah, like has volcanic blood.
Which conceptually pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess. It doesn't do a lot of moving around. Like I said, it's more the island.
Well, and this is a problem with the Asylum films in general, is they might give you a creature that's competently designed and rendered as if it was going to be on a original Xbox game. But I gotta say that this script and the actors do a lot right here. Like it's a perfect storm. Like I feel like they accidentally made a decent movie. And because you have, even though goofy at times, decent characters who are competently acted. Like this is the first like ensemble that like outside of the dude with the man bun who, I mean, understood the assignment, but just didn't know how to execute it very well.
That guy gets killed so unceremoniously in the movie.
And it couldn't have happened soon enough.
They're like, oh, we have nothing left for him to do in this film. It's time to burn him in lava.
But yeah, I gotta say, like, I mean, all the trappings, and then there's a weird thing where the billionaire starts saying, oh, it's a kaiju. And at this point in time, I understand that this is a word that is no longer niche. Mm-hmm. It's one we've seen used in movies. You know, it's still a little weird to hear in an English speaking movie, even though we watched Pacific Rim and stuff, like just being thrown around by people who look like they should be in a soap opera. I don't know why. It was just like on one hand, I would say the same thing if I were to say, oh, it's a kaiju. Like, so I mean, but I think it just takes me a little off guard a little bit that like it's such a vernacular word now. It's not kind of a deep cut word. Mm-hmm. And that is something that's certainly been kind of helped in the last 15 years, I would say.
Yeah, I will admit to when they got to that part in the movie, I was like, oh, wow, they're actually talking about kaiju. I wonder if we're going to get to see it for more than like 5 minutes in this entire film.
Oh, yeah.
No, they render about enough of both monsters in this movie for the trailer and to make the trailer look very good. And then you get to the movie and it feels like 90% of this film is Eric Roberts in like a super cramped set that he filmed all of his scenes in one day, being the world's most like unbelievable general character. Like they didn't give him a haircut. They just stuck him in a general's, not even, is he a general? He was like in the Navy, isn't he? Are there?
Yeah, he's I think he's like,
wouldn't he be like an admiral or
something like that?
Oh man, we need, if this is the one time we need Drew, our friend Drew here.
I think he's supposed to be a general, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's Eric Roberts as General Horn.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I don't think general is a naval rank. Was he Marines?
I don't think they care.
Well, I'm just saying that there's so much other competent stuff about this movie. It is funny that you know, he's literally one of two actors on the poster for this movie, Eric Roberts and Toshi Toda, who is his like lieutenant on the boat and has like one line. That's so weird that they put him as the number two guy. He's been in a lot of big movies. He was Colonel Adachi in Letters from Iwo Jima. And supposedly, I'm looking here on his IMDb, was in the 1998 Godzilla. Is that right?
He was.
He was the Japanese tanker captain at the very beginning of the film. But yeah, Eric Roberts. For some reason, Asylum just feels like it's required to have a major actor that probably should be retired show up for work for one day so they can say, oh yeah, our movie's got Eric Roberts, you know, in it. But he doesn't add a whole bunch and hilariously has no scenes with any of the other characters. He is really just on the ship.
And it's frankly, like, I mean, it's just, you feel bad watching him and it's
collecting a paycheck. He's probably having a good time.
he looks terrible, to be frank, and doesn't really have a fantastic performance. I will say that Adrian Boucher as Billy Ford, I thought was pretty great. I think the entire like main ensemble hero cast is pretty good.
Yeah. Way too confident.
That's the weird thing is, especially like I was telling you beforehand, like typically they have like another, you know, former TV or genre starlet from like the 90s or whatever that like is a quote unquote celebrity. But here, I mean, I don't think either of them are any of either of those, but they're both that are supposed to be kind of the eye candy, like super competent actresses who honestly have decent roles. And there's not really a romance subplot, which I also thought was pretty great. And
well, yeah, like the one guy, I feel like they would have man bun. They killed off, like I said, very unceremoniously Riley in the film. But yeah, no, Adrian Boucher is pretty good as the billionaire. His, you know, geologist minor employee played by Natalie Robbie was, I keep using this term, but competent. Like,
yeah,
terrible script, terrible dialogue, but
well, no, his person was Charisse.
What do you mean his person?
You were talking about, I think the person that works for the billionaire is Donna Cormack Thompson.
Yes. I'm getting him confused or her confused with like the
person from like the genealogy or not the whatever institute.
Geology Institute. Yeah. Whatever. They all just turn into like one big team. It feels like all these movies, there's like a team of folks that come together and are in a,
there's also the captain of the ship who just like feels like Iggy Pop.
I hated the captain. I couldn't understand like anything he was saying. And then, yeah, he's just out of the movie. And it's like, boy, howdy. The first 30 minutes of the movie is a lot of underwater geology talk.
I liked the captain. Actually, it's pretty funny. Like, he felt like Iggy Pop, but like when Iggy Pop was what was her name? Was it Nona? Michelle Trachtenberg's character from Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yeah.
You know, he had that vibe so hard. Like, I really loved it.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. I will say, production value wise, this movie has some great filming locations. They apparently filmed in both New Zealand and Cape Town, South Africa, because at the end of the movie, they have these glorious beach scenes. They have these amazing kind of carved cavern locations, which I think was South Africa, but they just found some great sets and it added a bunch to the production value. I was super surprised. I was like, wow, this is not filmed only in downtown LA, you know, which, yeah, I was baffled by.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing is like, I don't want people to mistake my shock about how quote unquote good this movie is with like, supreme admiration, but I mean, honestly, everything about this movie, it's the word of the day, thanks to the conglomeration. The word of the day is competent. And this movie is more competent, I think, than any Asylum movie I have ever seen.
High praise.
And yeah, I mean, it sounds like I'm being like backhanded, but no, I mean, I really do. I think the actual story is pretty fun. Is it goofy? Absolutely. It feels like a silly comic book, but like in the best way. Like, it's very Silver Age-y, and I appreciate that. And like, oh yes, we have to find the shunned professor who called all of this, and they introduce exactly who the kind of person you think it's going to look like. You know, this person is
your friend's hippie grandma. You know,
exactly. Like, yeah, she teaches yoga classes somewhere.
Would you guys like, you know, some soy salad?
And there's so much about this movie that, like, it's so silly and so dumb in the way that many Asylum movies are, but it's also like really, really decent. Like,
that actress, I just looked at her IMDb, Margot Wood. Did you watch Novocaine yet?
Yes, I have.
She plays elderly woman in Novocaine.
Oh, I think I know exactly who you're talking about, actually. That's so funny. Yeah, I loved Novocaine. It was great.
Probably the actor with the most recent credit when we're recording this at the end of April. But yeah, but besides kind of like a little phoned in, literally and figuratively, Eric Roberts' performance, he is on the phone like the entire film. The main actors are pretty good, pretty competent, actually.
And like I said, conceptually, like I agree with you. They show the monsters for not nearly enough time. Their fights, as in every single Asylum, you know, monster movie, are pretty negligible. But conceptually, like on paper, I really love the idea, like, okay, this thing, you know, it bleeds lava as a defense mechanism, and like you can only affect it this way, and the only thing that can properly stop any of this is the other kaiju. These are all tropes that I really love. Like,
yeah,
they build up this they have another word that they keep saying, like kainen or something.
Kaiju.
Yeah, kaiju. Kaiju.
They pronounce it in weird ways, and
I thought they were just trying to like make their own little flavor of it.
They talk about at the end of the movie there being like dozens more, some friends, some foes. And I was like, all right, I get it.
Well, I like the idea that like, okay, this other kaiju exists, and I mean, because it feels very like King Caesar, like, oh, it's the ancient enemy. It is the one thing that's going to rise and protect the earth. But the first thing you got to do is make these guys bleed.
Yeah, it's just I wanted so much more of that. But the vast majority of this film is them just like reacting to like a new problem.
It's the first time in an Asylum movie where I'm like, oh, if they had a few more ducats and could spend a little money on this, you might have yourself a stew.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, you know, like a few other films, this one could have done with like a prelude where maybe we saw the two kaiju.
We had the prelude. It takes place past in like the Triassic period or something like that. Yeah. The opening of the movie takes place like 25 million years ago or something like that. There's that sequence of the monster in the ocean.
Right. Yes.
It amounts to nothing.
I was talking more about the Cyclops creature, but yes.
Oh, right.
Oh, it does show them fighting like in the distance before the title, but it's like it could have been anything. You know, it's like a shadow.
100%.
Before the credits of Monster Island. Are you ready to get to rating this one? I feel like we're both pretty positive here.
Yeah.
For an Asylum movie, I think this could be the most technical movie that they ever put out, and it still to me is not super entertaining. Like, you know, I sometimes them being bad gives it some of its entertainment value. So unfortunately, I'm not even mixed feelings on this one. I feel like this was a little disappointing. I'm giving it a 4 out of 10 for my personal enjoyment. Maybe it's because I have watched this twice now in my life. I think one is more than enough. There were parts of it that I just keep getting lulled into, like, oh, maybe it is going to get good here because so and so has happened. Like, once the weird kind of pterodactyl like monsters started hatching, I was like, oh wow, they're actually moving this plot along. But yeah, it just reminded me so much of Atlantic Rim 2, where all the little monsters pop out of the
Right.
Kaiju's guts. And I was like, oh, no, we're just doing this again. And they all spew. They're relatively, they seem tiny, but they have the ability to launch what seems like an endless amount of lava out of their mouths. Yeah, so 4 out of 10. Miles, what about you?
So I had quite a good time with this movie. I found it very charming in the way that I would find many of the Sci-Fi Channel movies that would come on Saturday afternoon back when I was younger. Charming, where I was like, these are not good movies, but there's something that I'm not turning it off. And I feel like that was kind of the vibe I got from this one. And because it compares, you know, so much, like, or comparing this so much to the other Asylum movies, and its competence is such a step forward that, like, I want to award this movie, you know, I want to reward this movie. And I the thing is, I had a pretty good time with this. I would, if I had to pick an Asylum movie, this would be the one I would probably watch. It is very forgettable, but also very watchable. So I'm actually going to give this a 6 out of 10 for personal enjoyment.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, I think that's still mixed feelings on our. Six out of 10 is good.
Like, again, this is a very competent movie. And for personal enjoyment, I absolutely wanted to give it some credit where credit's due.
I think I'm giving it credit on its technical score the most here, because, like I said, if you just walked into the room and this film was playing and you just watched like 30 seconds to a minute of it, you would be very tricked into thinking this was a good movie that someone was watching. It's only if you like dig into it for a while, you're like, what is happening? Who are these characters? What is the plot? And it's like, oh, this is just Sci-Fi Channel schlock. But yeah, the technicals, the acting, the directing, the set locations, even some of the very rarely used CGI looks good. So I am giving it a 6 out of 10 for its technical score. I think that's got to be the highest for an Asylum film. But I don't know, maybe some of the Megasharks weren't terrible technicals. What about you, Miles? Where do you land on the technical?
I'm right there with you. I would say that this is a 6 out of 10. There's a lot of good stuff going on here. And I think it's got one of the more cohesive scripts. The idea is very, very solid. Like again, if they had like some money to actually afford some screen time with the monsters, because it's not like Atlantic Rim where like everything just looks bad. Like on paper, these monsters are pretty cool. If they actually had some money to like spend some time with the monsters, let them have a real battle, that would have gone a long way. I think, yeah, this is certainly one of the best ensembles they've put together, regardless of Eric Roberts. And, you know, it has all the trappings and all the kind of, you know, characteristics of an Asylum movie just done pretty well. Even the score, which is just still pretty basic, is still a hair above of what they've done before. I mean, again, I know it sounds like we're just singing praises for them to like do the like the barest minimum. But listen, yeah, after so many Asylum movies and after what happened last week, I think that the barest minimum looks pretty good right now.
I will say we watched this in the same set as Zillafoot last week's episode, and it made this movie shine by comparison. You're like, oh my gosh, I can follow along. I can actually watch this. Right, so what about its importance as a kaiju film? What's its importance in the genre?
Again, this might sound too high, but like I said in my personal enjoyment, if I'm going to pick, and if I'm going to pick an Asylum movie to watch as it stands, this is likely the one I'm going to do. If I'm actually going to sit on a movie and like, okay, this is what the Asylum does. Is it the best mockbuster in terms of like direct translation of what they're trying to do? No. Is it like, oh, this is so bad, it's good? Not really. Like, this is just a different kind of movie for them. Like, it's taking advantage of a release time for a big movie, but it's doing nothing to make it feel like it's supposed to be a Godzilla movie. And I mean, but at the same time, if I'm going to have to pick an Asylum movie and explain what Asylum does and, hey, what should I check out? I mean, this is going to be at the top of my list, because I'm not going to encourage people to see some of the stuff that like, yeah, it was great for a meme or is one of the most watched trailers in 2010. But like, that doesn't make the movie watching enjoyable. And this frankly is a pretty enjoyable watch. So I'm going to stick with a six.
Oh my gosh, Miles. Miles, yeah, what happened to us? You used to be the one that was super harsh on films. And I was the one given the higher scores out.
Oh, I'm sure. We will go right back to it. Reversed. Like, just because we've had 2 weeks of like, okay, I was a little kinder to some of the droppings that we've been given.
No, I would say I'm just looking at the scores here. Like in movies that we've had a difference of opinion on, like, wow, like
Jellyfish Eyes, perhaps
six of the 10 last films that we've reviewed, you've had a higher score on, which is definitely not the norm.
It couldn't have been one of the animes.
Well, no, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That movie ruled. So yeah, there is that one.
Oh, I guess I give a higher score to Godzilla Planet Eater, but The Great Buddha Revival, you're even higher on. And last week, a movie that shall not be named. Yeah, so that gives you a 6 out of 10. For my importance, I don't know if any Asylum film is important to me as far as the...
And that's valid, but like I would say, like, if you had to describe Asylum and what they do, like, what films are you going to be like, oh, well, watch this? Because I'm not going to make you watch, you know, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, because it's not a fun movie.
Yeah.
And Monster sure isn't. And neither is either Atlantic Rim film.
Well, just looking at the scores here, and I think, yeah, I mean, I think I personally enjoyed the Mega Sharks.
And what was it? What was that first one? Kong the Lost World, or what it was called?
Yeah, yeah.
King of the Lost World.
That actually was weird.
Weird. Yeah, stuff. It was just, real
this,
weird.
This one doesn't feel like a kaiju movie in the vast majority of the film. It feels like it at the very end. It feels like a monster movie made by Asylum, and they made hundreds of those. So
yeah,
I'm being very harsh on its importance. I'm giving it a 3 out of 10 for where I see this. Oh, and that's over not just Asylum film, but all kaiju films, but especially the ones kind of, you know, recently. This was obviously put out for Godzilla King of the Monsters. It was released the next day, and as good as that movie is, it's like this, or as important as that movie is, I think this one just can be deleted from the Asylum archives and people won't be super bummed about it, you know? So that is my final score is a 4 out of 10, and you're a 6 out of 10. Makes the math pretty simple here. Means our podcast final for Monster Island is a 5 out of 10, which is pretty high on our Asylum listing here. Most of the Mega Sharks, I believe, were 4 out of 10. What else did we do recently? Do we have another Asylum film fairly recently? No. I guess Atlantic Rim Resurrection was also a 4 out of 10. So this is getting kind of some of the higher scoring as far as Asylum films go. I will just point out, Miles, 6 out of 10 is what you gave Clash of the Titans. Remake of Clash of the Titans. You're
yeah, I'm fine with that, because Wrath was much better.
I'm looking at all your 6 out of 10s.
Go for it.
We both gave Godzilla Planet of the Monsters a 6 out of 10, and
fine.
Yeah, to be fair, I was say both of those movies are about as interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm not seeing error in my judgment.
Well, I'm still holding out hope that we can get an actual, like, good, an actual 6 out of 10 Asylum film before they've run out of mockbusters here. Because while we're done with the Mega Shark series and probably the Atlantic Rim series, unless they make another one, they're making a new TV show, apparently a prequel series. But until what? Then, the other series that Asylum is going to start up is a Ape versus Monster series. I'm hoping those are good, but that'll do it for this episode. 5 out of 10 for Monster Island. Miles, where can folks find us if they want to chat about kaiju?
You can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Blue Sky at Kaiju Versus History. You can visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, and let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account, Kaiju Versus History, to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. You can also go to our sister podcast website. That's cosmiccrit.com. Hit that Discord button. Join our Discord. We have a Kaiju Versus History channel where you can talk to Patrick and I and all of our fun friends in real time about whatever sort of kaiju shenanigans that you want to. We're often posting news and toys and comic books that are coming out.
But July this year, Godzilla versus Boston comes out, so I'm excited about that. I'm up here in Boston.
Oh, we had that like 2 weeks ago. What are you excited about?
I'm excited to read that comic.
Oh yeah, no, it should be super fun. You might finally get one of your other little landmarks getting destroyed that I have to hear you bitch about for years.
it's funny they have the Sitgo sign that's by Fenway is called Citygo.
Wow, nice.
Change it up.
Well, Patrick, tell us, what are we doing next week?
Well, I'm hoping we can kind of wash the taste of the last couple films out of our mouth, but unfortunately, we are still in the kind of non-serious kaiju film realm as we're looking at returning to the land of kaiju parody. But whereas most of those films we've watched have been Japanese productions, next week we're diving into a U.S. production that seems to want to take on the Big G series. But is it going to stand alongside the rest of the subgenre coming out of Japan, or is it going to stick out like a sore thumb? Find out along with us as we dig into history versus not Zilla.
Bum, 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 bum.
Zilla. Not Godzilla.